A little pomp is coming to the Wall Street of London this weekend. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. We'll shortly introduce you to the next ambassador for the financial and professional services industry this side of the pond. But first to Brazil, where two of the year's biggest oil auctions took place this week and flopped. They failed to attract bids from large multinational firms like Total, BP, and Shell. In the last decade, Brazil made discoveries in offshore oil, but the BBC's Daniel Gallas explains why those potential investments aren't as attractive now.
Two massive oil auctions took place on Wednesday and Thursday. Brazil was offering oil fields in its so-called pre-salt layer, deep beneath the seabed off the shore of Rio de Janeiro. But the auctions were a complete failure. Nine fields were offered in two events, and only three of them had any bidders. All oil fields were won by Brazil's own state-controlled giant Petrobras, some with a minority stake from Chinese firms. Major companies like BP, Shell, and Total chose not to take part. Brazil's government was hoping to collect over $27 billion. Instead, it managed only two-thirds of that amount. It was planning to use the bonus money to solve some of its fiscal problems. Specialists say offshore drilling isn't as attractive as it used to be due to the high costs involved. Also, many say the government was charging too much for such a high-risk investment. In São Paulo, I'm the BBC's Daniel Gallas for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Global shares are mixed on the final trading day of the week. Hong Kong's Hang Seng ended down 0.7% after reports some U.S. officials disagreed with scrapping tariffs on some Chinese goods. And in Europe, Spain's IBEX is down 0.5% ahead of elections this weekend. Ratings firm Moody's has downgraded its outlook for India from stable to negative, citing risks the country's growth will remain low. The economy grew 5% in the second quarter, its weakest pace since 2013. The downturn comes as many small businesses are still coping 3 years on with the effects of a ban of high-value currency notes and the introduction of a sales tax. The BBC's Arande Mukherjee explores how the slowdown is hurting communities and the knitwear industry in the state of Punjab.
It's the worst Darshan Dawar has seen in his 40 years of making knitwear. A combination of factors, a slowing economy, competition from cheaper imports, and the lingering effects of the government's cash ban have all hurt his business. He tells me how if I had visited his factory 3 years back, I would have seen happier workers and him smiling a lot more.
Employment has fallen by 30-40%. The cash flow stopped and people were afraid of doing business. We were in direct competition with China, but now they have captured the entire market.
His is one of the 12,000 manufacturers in the knitwear hub of Ludhiana in Punjab. Small businesses like his, known as the unorganized sector in India, are struggling to stitch their businesses back together at a time when the economy is growing at 5%, its slowest in 6 years. But economists like Professor Arun Kumar are convinced it is much worse.
That the data that the government uses is only for the organized sector, is not factoring in the unorganized sector, which is declining. But if you take the alternate data and add that, then Indian economy would be in negative territory rather than in positive growth.
Small businesses in India contribute nearly half the country's GDP and employ more than 90% of the workforce. Experts say unless the government takes steps to address the concerns of this sector, it'll leave shopkeepers with little to do, except count the cost of the slowdown. I'm the BBC's Arunoday Mukherjee for Marketplace.
One of London's oldest traditions is happening this weekend. The Lord Mayor's Show is a celebration that's been going on for more than eight centuries. As part of this year's festivities, the 692nd Global Ambassador for the City of London will be sworn in tonight in a silent ceremony and take part in a parade through central London tomorrow, which winds its way past landmarks like St. Paul's Cathedral. Ahead of the festivities, I set out for Guildhall, the hub of city business, to ask the incoming Lord Mayor what his new gig is all about.
I'm Alderman William Russell. And I am the Lord Mayor elect. The Lord Mayor of the City of London spends a great deal of his time travelling the world, about 100 days a year, visiting over 20 countries. I have a theme which is Global UK, championing trade, innovation and culture. It's inward and outward investment. The fintech space is something I've been very involved in. And then there's the green finance side, where I've just partly funded a green finance institute. It's all about the sustainability in finance. And then there's cybersecurity. A lot of people don't know this, but the City of London has its own police force. And that police force is not really about bobbies on the street. It's about dealing with cyber and fraud in financial services and around the world.
I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about Brexit. How do you think financial service companies could better position themselves?
Brexit is one of those things. As far as the city is concerned, we've always been against a no deal. And hopefully after the election, there'll be some sort of clarity.
Now, on a much lighter note, we're standing in front of this beautiful gold coach that you will use during a parade this weekend.
The state coach, built in 1757, is the oldest state coach in the world that is still in regular use. I will sit in that coach knowing that exactly 50 years ago, my grandfather was the Lord Mayor of the City of London as well. And I was 4.5 years old.
I was going to ask you, what made you want to become Lord Mayor? Is that one of the things?
What really drove me was I was leaving Haberdashers' Hall, which is one of the livery company halls, and I'm a haberdasher. And my wife pointed to the wall where it has a list of the number of all Lord Mayors the Haberdashers have had. And the last Lord Mayor was my grandfather. And she said there could be a lot of what-ifs. And I looked at her and I said, are you sure that you're saying that you're happy for me to try to do this? And she said, yes, because if you don't, we'll never know what will happen.
William Russell, the next Lord Mayor of the City of London. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, if you're into the pomp and circumstance, there's a lot more where that came from. If you want to hear more from William Russell, we'll have an extended interview on marketplace.org later today. And you can hop over to Twitter. I'm at Victoria Craig for a photo of the Lord Mayor with that gilded coach he was talking about. Let us know your thoughts with the hashtag BBC Marketplace. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.